Before Marx or Mao, socialism was a communal ideal practiced by Christians, such as the Hutterites, an Anabaptist group. They believed that communal living emulated Christ better than seeking financial profit from each other. Jesus taught, "You can't serve both God and money. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." Unquote. Between pure socialism and unbridled capitalism, I'd guess Jesus would choose socialism. But so far, neither pure socialism nor pure capitalism works. Capitalism is too harsh, and socialism takes our selfish side lightly. In theory, each is consistent with democracy. In practice, each eventually perverts democracy. A small group ends up running things and holding power through force and propaganda. During the early 20th century, many local and even congressional elections brought socialists to office in the U.S. In 1920, Eugene Debs ran for president from prison and polled more than 1 million votes. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics perverted socialism. When Russia overthrew the Tsar, the communists gained control of the revolution. While some were benign idealists, and the Soviet Union tried at first to improve people's lives, few would try to excuse Stalin's conduct. Soviet conduct toward Greece, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and other nations was ugly. Sadly, U.S. conduct was equally misguided. Think Iran and Guatemala in 1954, most of Latin America, and most tragically, Vietnam. Our legitimate distrust of the Soviet Union and the Soviets' quite justified distrust of us led each government to excesses. Neither side was as evil as the other believed, or as pure as it claimed. The Soviets used the socialist ideal to cover international power grabs. We got their philosophy and their actions confused. Our leaders used that confusion to cloak our international power grabs. Some Soviet actions were against our national interest. Socialism just conflicted with the United Fruit Company's profits. The Chinese Communist Revolution started idealistically and gained popular support. Mao had better intentions than we supposed, and the Chinese government made an honest, though sometimes tragically misguided, effort to improve people's lives. But it'd be hard to justify what was done to Tibetans or during the Cultural Revolution. Survivors told me stories that broke my heart. Almost all present governments offer some blend of capitalism and socialism. Many are doing better than we are. Yet we still find ourselves hollering, "Socialist!" like some half-understood playground insult. Instead of studying some new idea, someone yells, "It's socialist," and we close our minds. Our democracy is too fragile and too precious for that.